Podcast listeners, volume up. Hey, everybody, it's your well woman, practitioner LaShanna Moore of Holistically Well, and this is the Holistically Speaking podcast where it's all about helping you be well and be whole. We say be instead of become because we want it to always be a present, active state of your life, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Hey, y'all, how are you? How's it going? At the time of this recording, we are officially in quarter two of 2024. Man, what? Yeah, scratch the record, turn around, cue all the oohs and ahs and ohs and oh my gods, because it's amazing how it feels like. And I know a lot of us say this, and I really don't know if it's true because I don't think that the planet is rotating faster or slower. I have not read anything about that. Climate change, yes. The fight with daylight saving times, forever and always. But I don't know if the momentum or the speed of our rotation has changed. But a lot of us are saying that it feels like time is flowing so quickly. Time is moving so fast. It's the second quarter. I hope that you are moving about. I hope that wherever you are in this stage in your life, that you understand it, that you have resolved to finding peace and finding progress, and that you realize that progress is not always the same speed and the same volume in every season. It's just like the scripture. There are seasons where you're going to walk, you're going to run, and you're going to fly. I insert in there crawl. You're going to have a crawling season, a walking season, a running season, and a flying season. And it is a cycle, not always in the same order. So my prayer for you, my hope for you, my desire for you is that you understand where you are, because we've got training seasons, we've got pruning seasons, we've got seasons of being hidden, we've got seasons of healing, seasons of recovery, seasons where you are in flight, seasons where your momentum is absolutely unstoppable. And so I just hope that you know where you are. So I'm circling back and doing an audible episode of the 5 uncommon symptoms of perimenopause, going right on into postmenopause, because I did the video on Well Life TV, and you all really enjoy Well Life TV. Thank you so much. The viewership is really growing, and I appreciate it. We don't do any ads and sponsorships right now. So the way that you can really support my podcast, everyone, is by number one, subscribing, rating it, and reviewing it. If you will just do this for me, take a minute, either before or after listening, and send me a review and rate the podcast respectfully. When I say rate, I am assuming that it is a positive one. I'm hoping that it is a positive one because you do provide feedback to me via email, or if I see you in person, or if I'm on social media or alive or something. So thank you so much for that. I just needed to get these little, announcements or expressions done before we hop into this conversation. And on the audible, because I have kind of changed the format a little bit where I come right on talking. It's not really a big intro like it used to be. I liked the idea of the simplicity. And if you have subscribe to my newsletter, you've probably noticed the change in that as well. As a writer, I'm constantly working on different styles, different formats, speaking, passive, active voice, first, second, third person voice. And there are times that I really do like simplicity. I like making sentences shorter or using more adjectives in a shorter sentence, all of those different things. So, I changed the intro to the podcast. Hope you like it. One thing I do want to do as we enter into this conversation, I want to give us a moment to retreat, breathe, inhale, exhale, relax your bodies. I don't know how you listen to podcasting. I am definitely a podcaster. I have lots of them and I actively listen to them. Do I know about yours? Am I listening to yours? If not, I'd love for you to share it with me. But I will be writing, listening. I'll be lying in bed and listening. I'll be sitting in my office and listening. I'll have my ear pods on while listening. I actively engage in podcasts all of the time in so many different ways. If you are in a position to relax your body and participate in this moment of retreat, please do it. And if you're not, the one thing you can do is the breathing. So I ask you to, let's do a body scan from the top of your head, moving through your face, your forehead, your jaws, your cheeks, aka jaws, your teeth, unclench them, your neck, your chest, your shoulders, your arms, your stomach, your diaphragm, your hips, your thighs, your knees, your legs, your ankles, your toes, oh, and your fingers. Relax it all and let's retreat. Love it, love it, love it, always love it. I'll continue to remind you that breathing is the one free, accessible, most immediately effective tool that you have to diffuse a situation, yourself, to help you take a beat, take a breath, take a moment, reconsider that impulsive thought, to recover from a moment that just happened in the blink of an eye and you're trying to gather yourself or recalibrate yourself. Maybe you're really working on self-control and you don't want to react. You want to respond. Maybe you don't want to go back to being the person that you used to be, and you are renewing your mind every day as you're living a transformed life. Breathing, breathing, breathing is really a way to help center yourself and to gain homeostasis back into your body. Homeostasis, what is that? You've heard me say that before. Homeostasis is pretty much just bringing equilibrium and interdependence back into the body. It's a physiological process. One of the ways that we can do that, bringing the body into balance, bringing stability and equilibrium, is through breathing. Maybe you have just received news that has literally knocked you to your knees, knocked you off of your feet. Before psychologically the mind begins to comprehend what happens, you can begin to breathe. Or, and I want to just give you a variety of examples, such a large range as to how breathing can be beneficial. Maybe you stump your toe. Which one do we always hit, y'all? The pinky toe. We are always, these poor little pinky toes, they go through so much abuse. I am forever damaging my pinky toe. I am surprised it's not ugly, because the way that I be hitting this pinky toe and that enamel be healing. But when you hit that pinky toe or you stump your foot or whatever, you trip over yourself, the first thing you can do when that sharp pain resonates through your body, breathing. And here's the other thing about breathing, and we'll hop into our conversation. Breath work is done a lot of different ways. The volume of oxygen that you take in, the rhythm of the breath, short breaths. When there's a sharp pain that goes into your body, you're like, and then when you're trying to gain equilibrium and diffuse a moment, you may have longer inhales and longer exhales. When your body is actually responding to an emotion or an encounter, you may have long inhales and very forceful exhales. So I am saying all of these things as a reminder to use your breath. When you're working for a long time, sitting at the desk, or maybe you've been making a lot of calls, or business owners, maybe you're pitching, or maybe you're trying to get sponsorship, or you're trying to find the person who's going to say yes, or maybe you're in a season where it's just one no after the other. You know what? And remind yourself, I am created for purpose. I have been designed to fulfill feel this purpose in the earth. None of this has caught God by surprise. And it will work for my good. Timing is everything. Breathe, baby, breathe. All right. Let's get into our conversation. There are more than five uncommon symptoms, but I'm going to deal with five. And I have chosen deliberately the word uncommon because we know about the common symptoms. We know that there is a change in your libido that can happen and that can fluctuate. And we've talked about that before. We'll continue to do that. We've talked about hot flashes, the mood swings, the weight gain for many of you, cold sweats. I've even touched on in a blog. And if you're not familiar with it, I ask you to go to it because it is very, very, this is a very important one. And it is the suicidal thoughts that begin in the brain for many women who are entering perimenopause and menopause. It's because the chemicals in the brain are rebalancing as well. And our brain is connected to our emotions and to our nervous systems and has a certain level of fat that it responds to. And so go to holisticallywell.co, go to the blog and check out that that episode or that blog entry, should I say. It is very important. I'm constantly trying to repeat the phrase, you're not crazy, you're not crazy, you are not crazy. So let's review what perimenopause is, menopause and postmenopause. I always want to include just fundamental things because I never know whether you are listening in chronological order of these podcasts or how you're following, or for some of you, this may be your first experience listening or learning. But perimenopause is considered the transition period before menopause. Let me also insert here as a disclaimer that you should always consult your physician, have a conversation with your physician about anything you hear, anything that you're considering trying, all of those things. Okay. This is for educational purposes only. I'd also like to say that this is generalized information because we are so uniquely different. Many of you will have a different experience and age experience of when you enter perimenopause or go right into menopause if you, case in point, have had a surgical procedure that has graduated you right on in to menopause, whatever your situation or significant issue or experience is. All right, so getting back on track here, and thanks to Maya Care for being a constant informational source for us. I needed to give that shout out. Perimenopause is your transitional period before you go, a transitional period, not menstrual, but a period, a phase before you're going into menopause. This is the time that you're going to see the hormones fluctuating in different ways. Estrogen is declining. Basically, your body is preparing to exit the reproductive phase that has nothing to do with whether or not you've had children. This is the way the reproductive system operates with our ovaries and our hormones. So you're preparing to exit out of that reproductive phase. Perimenopause lasts for a variety of years for many women, 4 to 10 years. You are typically in your mid-30s all the way up to your early 50s for perimenopause. And menopause is the one day that you have officially concluded 12 months of menstrual cycles. Listen, yes, that deserved an applause. Now that right there is a well nass moment because I just don't know many of us who really enjoy periods. Even if yours is normal, you have regular bleeding. It lasts maybe 4 to 6 days and you go on about your business. I don't care how regulated or normal your period is. We just don't care for them, but they are a part of womanhood. They are part of our reproductive years and we have had to resolve with that and navigate this baby because it is a part of biological womanhood. But your menopause day, it is actually just a day. It is an occurrence that happens one day. And many women have started to celebrate it. Look, I listen. I look forward to celebrating it, okay? Bring it on. Babe, I might get a cake, a balloons, some balloons, call my sister friends. I don't know. And you never know, okay, let's see, April 27th. Okay, that's the menopause day. You really don't know that. I encourage you to be tracking, to be mindful, to be aware of your cycles. Be present and engaged with it. I know we get tired of it. She get on our nerves because she just comes. And for some of you, you're regular and you know when she's coming. For others of you, she is erratic. She has erratic behavior. She's always just been a contrarian child and she does what she wants to do. And if that is you, I hope that you have gone to the doctor about that and have conversation, because we should be having normal, regularly visiting periods. Let me just put that bookmark in there. But it is the day that you no longer have periods and you have not had one for 12 months. After that day, that menopause day, you are officially in postmenopause, all right? And so there are things that you want to be educated on regarding your postmenopause life. This, again, is another graduation, a rite of passage. And we talk like this so that we can know the things that we need to know so that you can have a better experience. And even when there are some bumps in the road or a pothole or maybe even a hill you have to climb for a season, we really want joy and peace to be the overall theme. We want that to be the frequency of this experience, right? So that's why we have these talks, and you're seeing more conversation. You're hearing more conversation. We are doing all of the things that we can to support one another and our sisterhood. We are our sister's keeper. I absolutely believe it. And we cannot afford to be silent, to be shut off, and to be withdrawn in things that do affect most of us. So let's go into the symptoms, the uncommon symptoms that I want to talk about. The first one is electric shock, feeling this sensation flowing through your body, a sharp sensation, a piercing sensation. It may feel like a tingle, a jolt, a zap. It may be your entire body that experiences it, or it may just be a part of your body, your neck, your back, your limbs. It is not harmful. It is not a state of emergency. It is not necessarily anything that you would need to call your doctor about or go to the ER, the emergency room about. Now, I always, always, always say better safe than sorry and better safe than unknown. You're always free. And you should practice the liberty of calling your doctor, the nurse, the triage, and asking questions. Just don't sit on it, okay? Remember, we all have different experiences. These that I'm sharing are in their general function normal. But do not let it prevent you from reaching out if you need to, okay? This is typical. It is related to the changes and the shifts that we're experiencing in our levels of estrogen. Now, your estrogen works with your central nervous system. Remember, I was talking about the brain and how we have depression and suicide. Some people have suicidal ideations during this time that do need professional support, medical support for that. We have brain fog many times. Your estrogen is connected to your nervous system, and it is sending those messages to your brain. And so while the hormones are going through their own change, give them some credit. Hormones are great, and they do great things. Right now, they're experiencing their own change. I'm trying to humanize them for us so we don't just demonize them and crucify them to the cross. But those little girls are going through changes too. And so there are signals. They're trying to find their balance, their homeostasis. Baby, they need a moment to retreat, okay? So while they're trying to find it, there are things that will happen in our body. There are involuntary responses. The body feels like it has short-circuited for a moment. Have you ever had a moment where your body went through a shock, or where you had an involuntary movement? It could have very well have been because of the nervous system going through some type of short circuiting, and you get that tingling sensation. There was a football player, you know, football is my sport, and there was a lot that went down this past season. But I do remember this one football player who experienced an involuntary response on the field. And yes, it was caught on camera. And I don't remember the young man's name. And it's not Damar Hamlin. I'm not talking about Damar Hamlin. That definitely caught the attention of the world, I believe, whether you were into the sport or not. But another gentleman who, I don't know if it was as a result, I can't remember specifics, whether it was a result of the impact of the hit. But as he fell out, his body did like a flop, almost kind of like a fish out of water. That was an example of an involuntary response from the nervous system and the brain short circuiting and trying to rewire itself. This happens through this tingling sensation as well. Now, estrogen can enhance the action of those feel-good chemicals like serotonin. And we need that in the brain, especially when estrogen is declining. Because when estrogen declines and it affects the brain, it will affect mood. It will affect our neurological behavior. It will lead into depression and anxiousness and anxiety and sadness. And there is a blog post that I shared not very long ago at the time of this episode, where I'm talking about the benefits of heat therapy, the benefits of the sauna, the benefits of getting into some heat. And the research is there. The citations are there. Go and check it out, holisticallywell.co.co, and check out that blog post. As a matter of fact, I'll give you the title of it. It is called Heat Therapy May Help with Depression. Check it out. Heat therapy may help with depression. So here's some things I want you to keep in mind. Reduce your caffeine. Think about how much caffeine you are eating or drinking. Caffeine is a stimulant that will, of course, rev up the nervous system, that will deprive you of quality sleep. That is counteractive to relaxation and even the techniques that you try to integrate. Now, think about things that you may be doing in an effort to be well and be whole regularly that may be counterproductive to that, that may be the opposite of what you want to achieve. And a lot of times, you know, it's hidden in the small things. Now, I don't want you to be super vigilant about analyzing every super duper thing, because we already have enough. Okay, we're looking at chemicals, we're looking at food, we're looking at antibiotics, we're looking at all of these different things, from medications to food to even if you don't want to cook a day, which you really have the right to feel that way. Let me just normalize that. You have a right to feel like there's a day you just don't want to cook and you want to go somewhere and get something to eat. And maybe you wanted to go to a fast food or stop and do a drive-by food pickup or something. And because we have to be so mindful about what we're eating and buying, at least here in this here country of America, it's a lot to manage. So I don't want you super vigilant. I want when I'm talking about this caffeine thing, I want you to think about, and with all things, I want you to think through your regular daily regimen where you can reduce some things, and maybe some things need to be eliminated based on your current health status. All right, let's go on to the next one. I want to talk about itchy skin, itchy scalp, and skin sensitivity. For me in perimenopause, it's been a serious situation with my scalp. My scalp has been itchy, 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 itchy. And I have, so far, I have found a remedy in mixing a carrier oil with tea tree oil and oiling my scalp with that. Now, because to me, tea tree oil is not a pleasant smell, and I say to me because to each his own, it smells like insect spray. For me, it smells like insect spray. Now, is it effective? Yes. Essential oils are absolutely wonderful for so many different things, and they all produce a different aroma, some more pleasant, others more pungent, because it depends on the plant It is extracted. It goes through a distillation process. Hopefully you're using one of a therapeutic grade. I'll do a podcast on essential oils one day so you know how to pick. Some of them are topical. Some are aromatic. All of the things when it comes to essential oils. Tea tree oil for me is not a pleasant smell, but I do use it because it is highly effective. Itchy skin. This happens because hormones, again, are declining. And so the skin can become extra sensitive. When it becomes sensitive, you can experience an itch, and it's really centered around the loss of collagen. When we are losing that collagen production, the body's not producing as much collagen as it once did, then it does affect the natural oils in our skin. So we've got to stay hydrated. Yes, I repeated it, because Water is super important for so many reasons. You've heard me talk about it. And guess what? We're going to add skin to the list, because our skin is very important to keep smooth and to keep hydrated. Natural oils. You may want to consider the brands or the type of moisturizers or creams or oils that you're using. I love an aloe vera gel, a clay treatment, oatmeal, products with oatmeal in it. Look at those active ingredients to make sure you know what you're getting in what you are using. Who is it that does oatmeal products really, really well? Some of you may make your own. Aveeno does a really good job. I'm not an ambassador for any of these, so just sharing with you. They do a really good job. And you may even want to, as I just mentioned, try making your own. But I love aloe. Let me go back to aloe vera gel. Get the plant or get the leaf. Or you may find a gel, a product that had that the main ingredient, the main source of active ingredient is the aloe vera. Get you a little squeeze, a little bit of that gel out of that plant, out of that leaf, and you can soothe it onto your skin. You can mix it with a carrier oil if you want to. Calamine lotion, I grew up on it. That has been known by some to help relieve itchy skin. But stay hydrated. Antihistamines, some doctors will recommend antihistamines if you have rash, you break out in rashes or hives. excuse me, if you notice that even the texture or the itchiness, the level of itchiness changes in your skin in the evening, it very well could, because our body is releasing histamines at a different rate in the evening versus during the day. So consider number one, deep breath, because it is an uncommon common. We're bringing normality to it. We're bringing it into the common forefront. And talk with your dermatologist. Reach out. Listen, don't worry about money. You never know what you don't try for. You never know what you don't ask for. Have conversation. Listen, go down all the lists. Talk with your peers. Get a referral. Find out how you can get the help that you need, all right? Watch the kind of soaps. Last thing I want to say about it is watch the kind of soaps that you use. Warm water in the shower. Try not to go too hot the entire shower, because that can actually activate the skin and become itchy, and you want to avoid scratching a lot. Use some cold compresses, some natural mass of the elements that I just talked about. I talked about clay. That's a natural element. When you go on these really fun, restorative, wellness type vacations or getaways, and you do the mud baths, or you go overseas and you do the mud baths and all those different things, you feel the difference and you see the difference. So consider those. All right. I do want to go to the next one, number three, moving right along. This one is rather uncommon. But you, some of you may have experienced this, and it's called ductostasia, D-U-C-T, ductostasia, known as nipple discharge. It is benign. It is non-cancerous, but it is a condition that happens when your breast, the breast milk duct expands. When that expands, it causes the walls to thicken. When they thicken, it can result in blocking the duct, and that leads to the fluid accumulating. When the fluid accumulates in the breast milk duct, it will leak. That's the discharge that happens for some women. It's white. For some, it's green or it's brown. It may be accompanied by certain symptoms like tender breast, lumpy breast, an inverted nipple. I also did a podcast episode on Well Life TV that talks about pausy breasts and how sometimes your nipple, the shape or the direction of the nipple may change. It may invert during this time. Listen, hormones run all up and through the body. Yes, that's why so much of your body experiences a change. The nipples are not excluded from that. Nipples and breasts are a large part of reproduction. It's a large part of our female anatomy. We have breasts for many, many reasons, not just as a part of our physique or a part of our sensual nature, and a part of our wonderful femininity, but also because breasts serve multiple purposes. Man, I gotta give it up. God was clever like that. Every part of our body has a purpose. So, ductostasia, it's thought to be caused by deterioration of the milk duct. Remember, your body is preparing to exit out of reproduction. I don't know how that makes you feel. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what your reproductive life has been like. But these are one of the things that may happen to some of you. So it means that the duct is deteriorating and it's going to change that fatty tissue. Talk to your doctor. Yes, it is unclear, however, whether the hormone decline is involved in the cause of ductostasia. So hormone replacement therapy can be helpful for those of you who may experience this. It's a great note to remember. Breast cancer has highly been thought to be a byproduct of hormone replacement therapy. That case study has since been debunked. Talk with your menopause-trained, perimenopause-trained physician about hormone replacement therapy and the dosing of hormone replacement therapy, which will be determined for you. It is not the same for every woman, but HRT can be helpful because many times, in many cases, I'm going on a trail here. I'm changing the track. There are times you got to think about it. Your body's losing something. Many times it needs to be replaced. Like we lose water. We have to restore water in our bodies. We got to get water back into the body. Well, your hormones are the same way. That's one reason why we have HRT. For some women, them losing the amount of estrogen and progesterone that they do wreaks a lot of detrimental effects on the body. And you have to find a way to restore. And so we do that in various ways. There are prescribed creams, oral creams, patches, therapy, all different types. I do have an episode on that as well. So y'all listen, maximize Well Life TV. And holistically speaking, I have done quite a few episodes on this. I'll go back to them so that I can put them specifically in the show notes for you. All right. Let's go on to the next one that I want to talk about. This is number 4, UTIs, urinary tract infections. You may have had them as a child. You may have had them while you were pregnant. People who have kidney disease will often experience urinary tract infections, dehydration. Even sometimes the elderly experience urinary tract infections, where here it is once again. UTIs. Now, one of the differences with UTIs with women versus men is because we have shorter urethras, and our urethras are close to our rectum. Now, this may be a hygiene situation for you, and it may not be. Your estrogen levels dropping, lowering, will affect the lining of the bladder, will affect the vaginal walls, and makes the urethra and the urethra, and it makes all of them more susceptible to infection. So with UTIs, with urinary tract infections, you want to drink plenty of water. You want to make sure you are wiping properly. Let's walk through this because sometimes you just don't know. It is clinically suggested that you wipe from front to back. What I like to do is wipe separately. I take a moment to wipe the back, and I make sure that my proximity is hitting right at that rectum, that I'm not reaching behind to wipe your rectum. You don't want to go too far to the front. So I will wipe. You wipe both. I'm getting y'all all in my business. But you need to know, your rectum, in my opinion, should have its own wiping. And your vagina should have her own wiping. It is absolutely important that we stay clean, that we are bathing, and that we are showering. It is absolutely okay to bathe or to shower twice in a day. You have to do what makes sense and what is necessary for your hygiene health. Many times with these UTIs, they can be painful. They can cause burning sensations when you're urinating. Your urine, you may notice, could be cloudy, have a cloudy look to it. It may have a different aroma. Sometimes there is blood in the urine as well. Blood in stool as well as urine is not always a cause for concern, but it is definitely a situation where you can, once again, call your doctor, call your nurse, call triage, and have the conversation with them. So hygiene is important. Cranberry juice, 100% cranberry juice is great. Talking to your doctor, making sure you know how to wipe is very important. HRT, hormone replacement therapy, can also be a suggestion for women who just are extreme with UTIs or experiencing a repetition of UTIs. Doing a series of HRT sessions, it is going to help with the immunity, your estrogen to improve its immunity, help to lower the inflammation that's going on in the body, and also to help with the great or the good bacteria that we need to have in our gut and our vagina. We need to have good bacteria in the gut and in the vagina. All right. Take a deep breath. Take a beat. Here's the last one. I want to talk about the way that the body odor changes. You are not alone. If you have found yourself sniffing your armpits a little more than usual, or smelling your panties, or smelling your urine, or all of the different things that we do naturally, normally, to check ourselves. Listen, I want to make it an okay thing. I hope you're checking your body. I hope you know how your body smells. I hope you know how your armpit smells, and you know the different smells of your armpits, the smell of your vagina, the different aromas that your vagina produces. Yes, you need to know those things. You have got to be so in sync and so well versed with your body, ladies. Sniff, smell, touch, feel. Okay? So during these pausey times, you will probably experience a shift, a change in your body odor. It may be time to hit up a new deodorant. We joke about the memes in memes about these natural deodorants. I saw one that said, listen, you need aluminum because whatever you're using is not working. Or I need aluminum. One said, I need aluminum. I'm going to get this aluminum. because this natural is not working. And it is funny. Now, we don't want the aluminum in deodorant, but we do have to consider changing some of the regimens that we have used. All right. Why do we want, let me just hit on it real quick. Why we want aluminum free deodorant. Some of the same, the more the story changes, the more it stays the same. I'm not putting unnecessary chemicals in our body that will be a direct link or, well, it has not been, let me say this. It's not been concluded, but it has highly been assumed through the American Cancer Society of the link between aluminum and cancer. And we just try to do all the things to prevent. We want preventative care as well. So I suggest that you hop on this, hop on your exploration of finding a new deodorant that may work for you. Again, hormones. The hormones are changing. They're good girls, but they're journeying just like you. And so the composition of your sweat with the bacteria that lives on your skin is the reason for your body producing body odor. I know you hear all of the things maybe by a lot of naturalists, like if you eat this, if you eat that, then you would have no body odor. And that is not 100% true. Now, our bodies do respond through odor form and what is emitted through the skin many times by what we eat, fruit, citrusy things, seafood, things high in mercury, things that may be high in iodine. You may find that your body produces an odor. Your urine has a certain odor. Your vagina may have a certain odor when you eat certain things. But it's not everything has the potential to be faulty. It's not a 100% regimen that you can just swear by. Those are things that can be very helpful. Okay. So your body's going to produce an odor because you sweat and because bacteria lives on the skin. And your estrogen and your progesterone also influence the pH level of the skin. And because of that, it can affect the growth of the bacteria. That's the odor causing bacteria. So bathe regularly, y'all. Use a good deodorant antiperspirant. Wear breathable fabrics and avoid a lot of pungent foods as much as possible. Or if you eat pungent foods, just be aware. Look, I'm about to have this shrimp and I know I'm going to smell it in my urine and my vagina, especially if you've had a lot of it. But I'm going to deal with that. And then I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to make sure I'm bathing really good. You don't need to put a lot of dyes and perfumes. You don't need yoni pearls. You don't need all of that stuff. You need a good thorough cleanse with a gentle soap or a gentle wash with warm water. And let your vagina breathe at night if you dare, if you're comfortable enough with going to bed without underwear to let the vagina breathe and take a break, then do that. And yes, citrusy fruits. I like citrusy fruits for vaginal health. I think it's great. Water, cranberry juice, all of those things are great for vaginal health. All right, we made it. I hope that this conversation, this information has been very helpful. I will probably do a part two because, again, there is a lot more to cover. In all things, take your time. Be okay with trial and error. Have conversation. Lean on your community. Ask all the questions. There is never a dumb question, ignorant question that you can ask. And connect with us, holisticallywell.co, holisticallywellcenter@gmail.com. At gmail.com and on all socials, Holistically Well Center. And it's holistic with a W. Remember, my friends, be well and be whole.